You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Hello, friends. Good afternoon. This is Mindy Molina, and you're listening to the Mindy Molina Show here on WCNO 89.9 FM. I hope you are off to the races with an incredible year in 2026. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about 2025 and what we can expect or brace ourselves for in 2026. We certainly know 2025 was quite the year, so I'm excited to see what 2026 has in store for us. Before we get started talking about everything from global economics to here in the U.S. and the stock market and everything else in between, we are going to talk about you, right, in your year and what your plan is. Any of you that have read my book, God Loves You and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It, which you can get on Amazon, and you just search my name, Mindy Molina, M-I-N-D-I-E-M-O-L-I-N-A. Or you can search the name of the book, God Loves You, and There's Nothing Anyone Can Do About It. But there is a whole chapter in there where I write about goal setting and how much I really relied on that every year. So at the beginning of the year, I would set 10 goals. And this is going back 20 years. So I would set 10 goals for myself for that year and say, this is what I want to accomplish this year. And I would make these goals big or small, it didn't matter. Maybe it was a new hobby. Maybe it was financially related. Maybe it was building a relationship or learning a new skill. Either way, I would make that. And actually, this book at one point was on that list. So there came a point where I just wasn't carrying things over. And even when I did accomplish these things, it wasn't that fulfilling. And in studying the word, I discovered that what I really should be doing is giving glory to God for all of my accomplishments and the things that I'm achieving in my life and the difference or the impact, giving him the glory and actually giving him the reins and doing his will versus setting these expectations for myself and putting all of that glory on myself when I made these accomplishments or did something good. I really wanted to share my life with God. And if I'm focused on my own goals and not what God's will is for me, then I felt like I was taking my eye off of that, or I was segregating us. And so instead of goal setting, I started creating a prayer list. And every year I make my prayer list. And I'll be honest, I haven't done it yet for this year. But this week I'm really grinding into my own financial goals, all of the things that I want to do for myself, resetting like everybody else. You know what they, you know how they say the plumber's plumbing never works. Not in this case. I have to take care of myself too. So I'm trying to inspire you to do the same. Right now is the perfect time to kind of set back and regroup. And what I really want you to do is to create a prayer list. Okay. So letting your desires be known to God. He wants that from us. You can read the book or take these two verses from the Bible. First is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and this is from the King James Version. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's telling you, let your request be made known unto God. This is really, really important because I always reflect or try to create an analogy, and typically that ends up being something about my own life. And so for many of you, you know that I have two sons. They couldn't be more different, and they're 9 and 12 right now. So my oldest son is never once much. He never really comes to me and says, Mom, I want this. If he does, you can tell it's like taking everything he's got to ask for something. He's very reserved. in that way. I think he's going to be the most conservative with his spending, but which is good. But I also feel terrible because I feel like I never know what, how can I bless him? What can I do or give him that is going to show him how much I do love him and how much I am here for him and how much I do want him to have an amazing life? Because as his mother, I do. I work hard because I want to give him a great life and just as much as myself or anybody else. But how do I do that if I have no idea what is important to him or what it is he's desiring in his heart? So let your desires be known to God. Tell him what it is. And you know what I've discovered is sometimes we don't even know what we want. If we really have to sit down and really, really identify what we want from this life or from this year, we have to work at it. We have to work at figuring out what that actually is. Now, unless you're my younger son. My younger son, he's always got a laundry list of wants. He always knows what he wants. And as soon as he gets that, guess what? He's got something else ready to go. He has no problem coming to me with the desires of his heart. And the good news about that is I always know how to please him. I always know, hey, and I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to give him that. And he's always grateful. He's always so grateful. And it brings so much joy to our relationship. So God wants to bless you. And not all the things that we want are materialistic or just for pleasure or, you know, or I want a bigger car or I want a newer house, whatever. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's healing. Maybe it is a pain point in your life, whatever that is. It's something that is burdening you or it's something that's not right and unsettling for you. Maybe it's that, but you need to let God know that you're asking him to come in and take care of that, right? So I'm going to share the second verse with you, the parable of the persistent widow. This is Luke 18, chapter 1, verse 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city of a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So I don't have any adversaries this year that I need any avenging for. However, the message here is about persistency. It's about that continued never giving up, right? And that ultimately get God's attention. If it's something that meaningful to you and it's something that important to you, it's up to you to let God know. It's up to you to bring that and to continue to bring it and continue and continue and continue. So many people, you know, I'm in the world of wealth management and I meet so many people who've accomplished incredible things and they're just as humble and their hearts are just as on fire for God and they give him so much glory, but there's a piece in them that always knew they were going to get there. They always knew they were going to accomplish it. And because they were relentless, and I love that word, relentless. Don't be afraid to be relentless with the Lord because he loves you and he wants to know what's important to you. So that's my message for the beginning of this year is to make a prayer list and be relentless. It doesn't have to be all of these things, but I like to break it down into a few different segments. For example, I like to pray for my friends and family, and I will make a list of the people that I want them to come to become believers, to know the Lord. Maybe they're going through a hard time. It could be anything, divorce, financial, you know, people need prayer and we need to pray for our family and friends, the people that we love. So I make a list of those people and that's where I start. And then I usually pray for, obviously, my children and pray over them. And I'll pray for my business and my clients, that God would lead me to the people that need me. And and that I would be able to do his will through my work. And then also, and to protect me from all evil in business and in all things. I always pray for protection. But I also pray for my own financial goals and aspirations, what it is I'm trying to accomplish, what the reason that I'm getting up every day and to doing the things that I'm doing, and what my mission is. And also, I pray for the fun stuff. And I pray for the big things. You know, maybe it is a new car. I prayed for my car, and I got it. And I think I've told you all the story about me driving down the road with my kids in the back, and I said, boys, let's praise God for our new car. I want us to pray and to thank God for our new car. And they were like, we don't have a new car. And then fast forward some time, however long it was, we were in our new car. And I said, see? And we were driving through the little confusion corner. And I told them, I revealed to them, I reminded them of that day when we prayed and gave the Lord thanks. And now here we were coming through confusion corner again in our new car. So don't be afraid to pray for the things, because guess what happens when you do get those things? You give the glory to God and you feel a connection with him. And you get, this is an experience that you get to have with the Lord together. And you know that you're blessed. You don't think to yourself, wow, I've really been busting it. I've been grinding and I've been doing all this and I. It's like, no, thank you, Lord, for this car because you prayed for it. Thank you, Lord, for this house. Thank you, Lord, for this family. And one other thing I'm going to add before I move on to all the other fun stuff, financial stuff, is that I changed the way I prayed in 2025. I made a difference, and I don't even know where this difference came from, but I think I'm no different than anybody else. I can find myself in some bad situations, or I get frustrated. I have all the same challenges of relationships, whether it's friends or family. And, you know, we're all going through these little trials, little tribulations, getting through life, trying to be happy every day. Wake up happy, go to bed happy. That's the goal. And healthy, obviously. But I used to pray to just get out. Like, just, God, take this away from me. Lord, get me out of this. I don't want to deal with this. That was kind of my prayer, the vibe of my prayer. And in short, wasn't really like that. But this year, or last year, I really shifted that prayer to God, come in. God, come into this situation. God, come into this relationship. Come into this, you know, whatever it is. Any, whether it's big or small. I really started asking the Lord to come in and take up all that space. Because if the Lord is there and he is taking up all the space and he is filling all the voids, there's no room for the enemy. And I really feel like I have felt that change. So that's my little lesson to you today, this afternoon, is if you're dealing with something or you're in a situation or you're frustrated with somebody, ask God to come in instead of asking God to get you out of it or move it along, because that works too. I have many relationships or friendships where I'm like, yeah, well, we're not friends anymore. But is that really what's right? You know, maybe it's not that. It's just letting God come in and letting God take over. So let's talk about investing and everything else that's going on. The conversation is endless, really. This is a very exciting time to be alive and experience the world during this generation, I have to say. This is, I will remind you, the Mindy Molina Show, and I am Mindy Molina, and you're listening to 89.9 FM WCNO. I'm here every Wednesday, 4 to 5, trying to equip you, encourage you, inspire you financially, and give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to empower you to make really good decisions for yourself. Try really hard to teach you different strategies, different methods, but also try to keep you entertained as we go along. But so one of the things I wanted to throw out there is that we are having workshops this year. We did a lot of seminars last year, which we'll continue to do one probably every quarter or so, maybe three times, big dinner seminars. They were very successful. However, I've decided that we're going to do some workshops, and our first workshop is going to be this month in January at the Blake Library here in Stuart, and we'd love for you to attend. We are going to cover Social Security will be one of the primary topics at this particular workshop, this first one. However, we have estate attorneys, CPAs, Medicare experts, anything that you need. Obviously, I will be there with all the wealth information on investment planning and investing in the market and knowing what is going to be sort of the ways to take advantage of the opportunities and protect yourself from those downfalls. So you are, if you would like to attend, you can call 561-729-2778. Again, that's 561-729-2778. Or even if you would just like to be invited, and then you can decide later if you want to attend. And we'll have ongoing workshops this whole year. So get on that invitation list. You can also text that number and give your name and your email address, full name, email address. And again, the number is 561-729-2778. So, 2025, it was a little chaotic politically for sure. Technologically, it was explosive. And just, I think, a reminder, and I said this last year, that, you know, if you really, it's like having a junk drawer. If you really want to get organized, what's the first thing you do? You got to take everything out. Just take it out and then put it back the way you want it. And I think that's what we're seeing with this administration. And we are definitely seeing the reshaping of global alliances. Donald Trump's second term definitely has disrupted U.S. foreign policy. First, we saw all the tariffs on trading partners and our national security strategy adjusted. So it's a truly an America first, you know, focus. And do I think things are going in a good direction? I am excited to see where we're headed. All I know is that what is behind us wasn't good. So we're 1 year in and we have been seeing a lot of excavating and a lot of things have happened a lot. It's like going through all of it could take more than an hour show for sure. But, you know, we're in this AI arms race and it's hypersonic. Like AI is so important. And I do believe that the U.S. needs to dominate in this space. And Trump and his administration are really focused on that. And there was the ceasefire in Gaza. You know, after 2 years, this ceasefire brought an uneasy pause and there was some escalating. But the people don't like forever wars, you know? I think there's global fatigue all the way around the world that is just like, we don't want these wars that just go on and on and on and on. And then political violence has become a thing, you know, mass shootings. These are things that weigh on all of us. What happened to Charlie Kirk was unfathomable. I still feel like it's not real. And then when you're on social media, if you're like me and even my children, and you're following some of these commentators, these influencers, as they're called, and they have millions and millions, like 20 million people watching their shows, and you have to constantly ask yourself, is this person providing real? Is this person talking truth? Or is this person trying to take an advantage and make money off of a headline story? Good or bad, they don't care. They'll say anything to get the dollar off of their show. And we have to all become really discerning about that. And I'll be honest, this is not easy. I am still conflicted in so many ways. I watch one thing and I think, wow, he's right. And then I watch another person that says the polar opposite thing and think, yeah, that is so true. It's difficult to be discerning. So my suggestion to you is to pray, pray, pray. And don't take everything at face value. Like, really dig in before you wholeheartedly, emotionally become connected or triggered by some of the stuff that you're hearing and watching. There was the government shutdown, which was the longest in history. And that came with a wave of consequences. But really, it didn't seem like people were that, emotionally impacted by it. It wasn't a big conversation, you know, in the office. Didn't hear a lot of people talking about it. It's like, oh, yeah, government shutdown. Okay, moving on. So I don't know what kind of real true impact it had, but it definitely had an impact on people who rely on our government. Like, maybe you have government contracts for your company and so on. There's definitely pain from that. So I don't want to make light of that, because all of these things that I'm touching on are serious, or I wouldn't be talking about them. So here's 20 things that Trump did in 2025. So these are just a list of 20 significant moves that Donald Trump did based on key executive orders, policies, and actions under his second term thus far. And then these are just, this is based off 10 different sites of information here compiled. So there was, and this is in chronological order, by the way. So starting January 20th, 2025, he issued an executive order to rescind various prior administration policies deemed detrimental, which set the tone for deregulation and policy reversals. Right out of the gate, that happened. In February, he started stripping power from independent regulatory agencies. He signed this executive order that required agencies like the FEC, FCC, SEC, which I'm compliant to and licensed with, and FTC to submit any major regulations for the White House review, which established a new liaison office to align presidential priorities. So stepped in right away to clean up or make sure we're all on the same page. Then March 6, 2025, did an amendment to duties addressing illicit drugs across northern border, exempting certain duties to combat drug flows from Canada. This was the northern border, enhancing border security measures. Also in March, he started targeting law firms with sanctions. He released executive orders accusing prominent law firms of unethical conduct, imposing sanctions and restrictions on their operations. Improving education outcomes by empowering parents, states, and communities. He signed to shift education control toward local levels, promoting school choice and parental involvement. And then also in March, modernizing payments to and from America's bank account, directing the Treasury to eliminate paper checks for federal transactions, which had something to do with your Social Security. There's a lot of that in the news. And then in March, he also started, that's when we saw the purge of U.S. aid programs, and announced the elimination of 83% of U.S. aid initiatives through a six-week review, refocusing foreign aid. A lot of people lost jobs during that time. But again, it's that reorganizing the junk drawer. It's not fun. None of this is fun. God makes good of all things, right? But this is work, and there's nothing that is going to get us to where we need to be that is going to be a kumbaya, easy, paved path. It's not. I truly believe it's like trailblazing, creating a new road, which is work, and it's going to take a lot of shifting. And we saw that. But the objective, ultimately, is to put our country in a financially stable position. And like I said, if you look backwards, I mean, it's not good. So we don't have a choice right now. Okay, then in April, we started actions against elite academic institutions. He launched executive actions and threats against universities like Harvard and Columbia, accusing them of anti-Semitism and anti-American values, which led to investigations and funding reviews. Probably remember seeing that in the news. Also in April, preventing illegal aliens from obtaining Social Security benefits. We remember that uproar in the news. Issued a presidential memorandum barring undocumented immigrants from accessing Social Security Act benefits. And let's see, that was April. Oh, this is kind of woven within, no particular date. The imposition of tariffs on key trading partners. Tariffs. Placed 25% tariffs on imports from Canada, Mexico, plus an additional 10% on goods from China to protect domestic industries and address trade imbalances. Mid-2025, there's an attempt to use Alien Enemies Act for deportations. Invoked the 1798 Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelan nationals to El Salvador. Though this was halted by the Supreme Court in AARP versus Trump. So I'm going to have to look into that. Is that our AARP? But many of you probably have your health insurance with. So I would not be surprised. And this was in late 2025, the attempt to federalize National Guard in Illinois. They sought to take control of the Illinois National Guard, but the move was blocked by the Supreme Court in Trump versus Illinois on December 23rd, 2025. Launching the Genesis mission. This was in November 24th, so right around Thanksgiving, signed an executive order to advance AI accelerated innovation, focusing on science and technology challenges in areas like biotechnology and semiconductors. So he signed an executive order to advance AI accelerated innovation. A lot of money pouring into that. But like I said, it's really important that we do dominate in this space. We need to be the leaders, not China. It's important. So ensuring a national policy framework for artificial intelligence. This was December 11th, just last month. Issued an AI litigation task force. So here we go. AI litigation task force to challenge conflicting state laws and promote a uniform federal AI policy. I know I was reading an article today about Grok and what its capabilities are and how they're being abused. And it is a question of where do we draw the line? I think on a show a while back, I was saying I was blown away at how the video looked from a picture as to how accurate it was. And even the side profile of a person that's just flat, you know, a one-dimensional picture. So I'm happy to see these steps being taken right away to get this under control. And we saw a lot of that from Elon before the election. He was talking about that and why it's scary and it's important. So I only know probably what you know about AI and I use it so much already. I use it so much already in my work. So it's a crucial part of our future and even today. So December 18th, designating fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. He signed an executive order classifying fentanyl to enable stronger enforcement and international responses. This man was busy. Also on December 18th, ensuring American space superiority. It's a big word. Policies for space exploration and national security in space. Yes, no aliens take us over. Increasing, this was December 18th, signed to reschedule marijuana to a Schedule 3. And expand research on CBD products, increasing medical marijuana and cannabis research. And December 29th, right before the new year, remember 5G? 5G was a really big deal, and there was a big uproar about it when they were installing 5G everywhere. Well, guess what? Now there's 6G. So we are winning the 6G race. Staying ahead technologically is so crucial in this world at this point. And I know it is a focus of this administration, and they're working extremely hard to get there or to stay there. And it's a race. We're winning the 6G race. Issued a national security presidential memorandum to advance U.S. leadership in 6G technology development. And finally, on New Year's Eve, December 31st, implementing U.S.-Israel trade agreement on agricultural products. He signed a proclamation to enact trade enhancements with Israel, including adjustments for agricultural goods. So there you have it. Those are your 2020 things of many, many others that Donald Trump has been up to last year. I feel like the man never sleeps. Every time I turn on the TV, he's in another country, or he's on his way back, or he's arriving here or arriving there. And I think he gets his rest in news conferences when he's standing there. Every now and then he'll close his eyes. I think that's maybe when he rests. I mean, he's truly a man on a mission. And you see all of these things from day one until the very last day of the year. From the first day to the last day of the year, he came in with a plan. And I will say they came in with a plan. And it was very clear. I don't know if I talked about this previously, but I was at Mar-a-Lago not long before they took office. So I can't remember if it was right before or right after, but definitely before. But all of the congressmen were there, and there was a little, I'll call it like a summit, where they had all gathered and they were meeting and discussing their plans. And now here we are. They are in full execution mode. I think it's clear to see. And where does that leave all of us? But I will add, that night that I was there, and I was there randomly, and that was actually the night that I got my picture with Elon Musk and Donald Trump in the same photo. My friend and I were there having dinner. Well, there's three of us. We were there having dinner, and because my friend is a member there, and us girls were just having girls' night out. We were randomly there. We didn't know that this meeting was being held there. And so when we showed up to have our dinner, we're surrounded by all of everyone, the who's who, politicians. And actually, Charlie was there, Charlie Kirk, such a tall, beautiful young man. I can't believe it. And you know, when I was standing in that picture with Donald Trump to my left and Elon Musk to my right, and I'm looking at Charlie Kirk, it's like so, such powerful, influential people. But wow, could you feel the presence of God? I mean, more talks about Jesus. I probably heard the word Jesus more that night in that it's kind of like an open veranda, like where everybody was sitting and they eat. And it was just a standard topic of conversation. And when I met Donald Trump, he was just, I definitely felt, not the first time when he came over, but the second time when he went back, I definitely felt like, wow, God is not messing around. I felt like I was in a room full of the Lord's generals. Like, that's what it felt like. And I don't know how else to explain it, but, and sometimes I can't believe I'm telling you guys this on the radio, but because I'm reluctant to tell people that, because I know there's, no one is perfect. We're all fall short of the glory of God. So let's not even go out there. But I will say this, the Lord was with me that night. I could feel him. I could feel his presence. And that's kind of where I've been drawing my faith. Like, wow, God, I'm just waiting to see what you're going to do. I love this. And anytime you feel the presence of the Lord, it makes you happy. And you know, on Christmas Eve, so I've been frequenting Mar-a-Lago lately with just friends, and then going to we do a lot of nonprofit work, and a lot of these events are held there. So I was not there on New Year's Eve. However, many of my friends were, and I follow and see all of their stuff. And you know, he really, that dedication with the picture, the painting of Christ that was done live, and then they auctioned it off. I don't know if you saw that story, but you should certainly look it up. I mean, wow. And the eyes, I mean, it is a gorgeous painting that that girl did. And it was, he saw it once before, and it was so powerful for him that he is the one who said, we're going to have it there. And he invited her to come again and do it. And I think they auctioned it off for over $2 million. I can't remember the number, but, or even what exactly the charity was for that they were raising money that night. But everything they do there is about raising money for charities. And anyways, it just goes to show, I don't really think you're going to see that in many administrations. So I'm all for it. I hope that the Lord is standing on the lawn of Mar-a-Lago and fighting for our country. I really, truly do. So let's go back to this. Interest rates. How does this impact you? If you are planning to retire, you're investing for your future, or you're already retired, none of these things, how is that going to impact you? Well, let's start by touching on interest rates. All right. The impact of Fed rate cuts. It's going to impact your high yield savings accounts. A lot of you sitting on the sidelines in cash in high yield savings accounts, you're possibly missing out on a huge opportunity for growth. You know, just even if you just look at year over year, what you've missed out on. Now going into 2026, you know, these high yield savings accounts are going to be paying even less, right along with CDs, anything fixed rate. We're predicting another cut, maybe more. So it's just going to keep getting lower. What do you do with that money that's on the sidelines in cash? And there are ways to invest to where you're able to capture the upswing of the market and still be in conservative portfolios, still be in models that are really safe. You know, my investments are really aggressive. So back in April, when the market really tanked, I went down with it just like anybody else would, but it was aggressive. My clients who were in those conservative positions did much better. And it took me longer to recover the aggressive side. So my point is this, is not that don't be aggressive, because if you're going to be in an aggressive account, you know, my long-term goals are different maybe, but I have a long-term vision of how those portfolios are going to perform, but everything is customized to you. So don't necessarily sit on the sidelines in cash that is going to be decreasing in growth unless you just need it as an emergency. My thing is put it to work. And you really should be segmenting your investments when you look at your overall financial household, I call it. You should have your expense account, which is your income comes in. So your Social Security, your pension, maybe your RMDs, maybe it's an annuity payment, maybe it's rental income, whatever that income is, it's coming in every month and bills are coming out of it. And you're going out to dinner or you are buying gas, whatever you're doing, those, that money is your day-to-day living. And then you flip over to the emergency fund. That's where your money market is, or your high yield savings is. It's in this, it's a savings account that is just there to be liquid in the event of an emergency. I think it should always be 10,000, but everybody has a different comfort level. I have clients who need millions of dollars in the bank because of their business. They need liquid cash. I have clients who can't sleep at night unless they got 100 grand ready to go in a bank somewhere. And then I have clients that are say, no, I want all my money working. I'll use my credit card. This is my emergency. So it's really about an emotional connection for that emergency account, but making sure that you have something to fall back on in the event of an emergency. And then everything else is your nest egg. Everything else should be at work, 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 making money. Now, once, what do we do with that nest egg? Well, that's where you create diversified portfolios within that nest egg. That's where you come up with the balance of how much should be at risk, how much should not be, how much should be growth focused, how much should be income focused, all these things. That's where the real detailed planning takes place. So there's the possibility of not paying Social Security tax. And there's talk about property tax. You know, DeSantis is coming out saying in November of 2026, he's going to put it on the ballot. I hope everybody votes yes. Even if it is in Trump saying 65 and older, not paying property tax. That would be a huge impact for the retirement market. Huge impact and a real big win. You know, if you just did two things by eliminating Social Security tax and property taxes, there would be a huge win for, especially in Florida, where homeowners insurance has become so expensive. I'm seeing, you know, two of the big annual costs for my clients is homeowners insurance and property taxes. And that nest egg, what I like to see is your income is covering your day-to-day living, but then once a year you pull from your nest egg to pay those two bills so that you're not micromanaging your income account. But these two bills are two of the biggest bills that you pay in retirement. And so to be able to eliminate one of those would just be huge. And to be able to keep 100% of your Social Security, let's face it, it's not that much money compared to how much you have to live, how much groceries cost and gas cost, and just to be able to buy your grandkids a gift for their birthday, it's expensive. So, but checks and balances, you know, we also have costs to run the country. So we'll see how that plays out. But wouldn't it be great if in retirement you didn't have that cost? So there's that on the possibility. It's not a for sure thing yet, but I wanted to go back here to some of these things. So here are some of the things about the tax cuts for seniors in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. So the Big Beautiful Bill signed into law on July 4th, 2025, and introduced like temporary tax deduction specifically for seniors effective for tax years 2025 through 2028. So your returns that you file this year, 2026, and then when you file in 2029. Now, this is in addition to your existing senior benefits, like the extra standard deduction. So individuals age 65 or older, so if you're 65 or older by December 31st of the tax year, can claim an additional $6,000 deduction or $12,000 for married couples. So that's an increase. That's a bonus deduction. There's the deduction phase out for modified adjusted gross income over $75,000 for single filers or $150,000 for joint filers. The bill makes permanent some tax cuts and job acts provisions like the increased child credit, which is up to $2,200, but the primary senior specific cut is that bonus deduction of the extra $6,000. It also includes an extra 5% inflation adjustment to the standard deduction for 2025, and Social Security had a cost of living adjustment, which hopefully you're seeing a 2.8% increase for 2026. And so if you were getting $2,015, you'd be getting $2,071. It's a nice little bump. But Medicare Advantage plans, let's touch on that because that's a topic this year too. Expect volatility, okay? There is a lot going on. Susan works in the office with me. Excuse me. She has been a Medicare agent for 20 years and she has been taking care of clients over and over again in regards to their Medicare, and had a couple come in yesterday who lost coverage and were really concerned about their premiums going way up. So enhanced, this is for Medicare Advantage plans. Some plans may exit the counties and your premiums could rise. Benefits like dental vision may shift and out-of-pocket maximums may increase. So open enrollment for that has passed. However, sometimes there are ways to work around it. That'd be a phone call for Susan. Please, you can always call 561-729-2778. Again, this is Mindy Molina, 561-729-2778. You can text Medicare, you can text your name and your email address. You can also call and leave a message. And myself or one of my advisors will be reaching out to you. But our typical process to work with us is reach out, 561-729-2778. You can also go online at mindymolina.com and book an appointment on the website. But what I like to do is to learn as much about you as I possibly can and then create some different scenarios, different strategies for you, investment strategies tailored to you, not just by risk. I know a lot of advisors say, oh, are you conservative? Are you aggressive? What is your risk tolerance? I like, yes, we want to know what your risk tolerance is, but I also like to give you a strategy that shows you how you should be risk mitigated according to your needs, right? So sometimes you just, advisors will just put all of your stuff in one brokerage account and say, oh, this is a conservative account, or this is a mix 80-40 or 80-20, 60-40 split. And they just invest you and move on. I really like for you to, like I said, with that nest egg, know, okay, this portion is invested specifically to produce income for me right now. And it is going to produce this much income a month. And then all of this is going to grow. And we want this to really grow so that 10 years from now, we can push a portion of it over to that income side if we need to because of inflation. Or we really want to be, we don't need to take any risk. We have plenty of income coming from Social Security and our pensions. All we need to do is preserve this balance and just let it grow, because we may go on a cruise and take some of it, but mostly it's probably going to end up going to our heirs, and then we design something specifically for that. Either way, everything we do is customized to you. It's not just a, are you conservative or are you aggressive strategy. We really want to put you in a position to where when you go to bed at night, you know for certain you're not going to run out of money no matter what happens. God forbid your health fails, you can be taken care of. Otherwise, you are going to remain independent. No matter who passes first, each spouse will be able to afford to live and carry on their lifestyle. And if not, we want to show you why or how to make adjustments in order to accomplish that. So that's what makes me sleep at night, is when my clients leave and I know, no matter what, they're taken care of. They're going to be good. So that's kind of our process. Again, you can call or text 561-729-2778. This is the Mindy Molina Show. You're listening to Mindy Molina on WCNO 89.9 FM. And we are just discussing a little bit about all the things this year. And it would not be right if I didn't bring up Venezuela. We can talk about that. So, a lot of wars going on in the world. I think there was no major end, but we have the Israel-Hamas, the Gaza conflict. This is a 2-year conflict, which began back in October of 2023 and ended with a U.S. brokered ceasefire in October 2025. Had hostage prisoner exchange. And then we have the Israel-Iran conflict. 12-day direct war erupted in June 2025 with Israeli strikes on Iranian sites, escalating to U.S. involvement, including some bombings. But no long-term nuclear agreement was reached. And Pakistan-India border clashes, Thailand-Cambodia. There's conflicts, right? There's always things going on. But let's focus on Venezuela. So Trump's return immediately, January 2025, he ramped up sanctions and bounties on Maduro. Doubled the reward for $50 million for his capture. Immediately sent the message, we're coming for you if somebody that wants that money doesn't get to you first. So to say that they showed up with a plan right away, they had a plan as soon as they took office. They started in March 2025 deporting Venezuelan gang members, He deported over 200 Venezuelan nationals tied to the vicious gang to El Salvador. And there's secret directives against the cartels. By August 2025, Trump signed a powerhouse executive order authorizing military strikes on Latin American drug cartels, including Maduro's Cartel of the Suns, just showing how serious he was. And the focus has always been on fentanyl. And I know there's a lot of focus on oil in the news and all of that, but let's not just pretend like fentanyl isn't a thing. All of us, more than likely, know someone whose family has been impacted by fentanyl. I was just at a meeting less than a month ago, and we're sitting at lunch, and the gentleman had to leave the meeting early because he needed to attend a funeral, because his good friends, whose their children grew up together, and these are high, what I would call, I don't know, influential people, but their children went off to college, and the one did something that was laced with fentanyl and died. And this was a straight A student, great, you know, a good reputation. But their kids, to think that kids in colleges aren't partying or drinking or doing whatever they're doing. I think, yes, there are a lot of criminals, drug addict criminals who have died from fentanyl, but every life matters to me. And there are also a lot of innocent children, parents who got a phone call that they did not deserve to get because of fentanyl. It is a real problem. And where I'm from in Indiana, it was like one of the biggest per capita. I think it was Narcan. It made the national news at one time how more people per capita are Narcan there. So I'm firsthand knowledge. I see how drugs have destroyed the heart of our country, not just in inner cities, out in the countryside. I'm from farmland. So it's a real problem, and it's a scary problem if you are a parent, because you're scared for your children. I know a story of a young man, early 20s, who was given a lollipop at a party laced with fentanyl, and he died. So was it murder? It was a big case, but this is very scary. You know, children coming into contact with fentanyl in Airbnbs or in hotel rooms and dying. This is a big deal in our problems, or in our country. So for me, I do want to see it cleaned up 100%, and I'm okay with that. But then there are all the other sides of it. The striking at the drug boats, oil blockade, and some talk offers, like maybe that he was going to surrender, but that didn't happen because he was obtained. And he's in U.S. custody, and the path to democracy opens, hopefully. I remember years ago, my son was about a year old, so he's 12 now, let's say 11 years ago. My friend is from Venezuela and came to this country, learned English. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. And her family was going through such a terrible time that, you know, I remember her tears and her worry. They were starving to death, and she needed to get them out of there and get them to the United States, which did end up happening. They did come to the U.S., and they lived with her in her house with her new husband, which ended in divorce. And I wonder why, when you have mom and dad, and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins, everybody living with you. But they didn't have a choice. It's that or starve. And we, at that time, were all gathering food and gathering clothing and baby supplies, anything to ship to them. And we did, taking stuff to the container. They never even received it. Even though it was directly to her family, they weren't able to get it. So the abuse there was bad. I don't know the details of it. I just know firsthand that her family was suffering greatly, and thank God they were able to get to the United States. And that was a long, long time ago. So my prayers are with Venezuela. I'm really, really happy for just the people there, that maybe they have hope. Okay. And how could that impact the U.S.? Well, I saw a really good meme, which I learned. I don't know if if, for those of you listening who know what a meme is, all right, I learned that there is what is called a meme reset. My son told me, or I overheard a conversation of him saying, she doesn't think that the meme reset is real. And I was like, what is a meme reset? But what that means is that at the beginning of the year, all the memes of 2025 are no longer relevant. And now we make way, there's a reset, and we are making way for all the new memes of 2026. So there you go, just so you know what the meme reset is. But the meme I saw was about what if Venezuela, if the U.S. stays in Venezuela and it becomes the 51st state, and how that could affect our economy, and could that be the ultimate, the end goal here in the game? And it was very enlightening of how can we get to that point to where our dollar isn't controlled or isn't in the position that it's in now. Maybe we could get our dollar under control. Maybe we could get inflation down. Maybe we could be self-sufficient. Maybe we could not be not allow OPEC to be monopolized. And so all these wonderful things. So there's a lot of ideas there that are on discussion. I'm sure you're hearing them yourselves. Will it come to fruition? That is where we just keep our eyes wide and see what the future holds. I do not know, certainly. But I'm excited to see what 2026 has in store for our stock market. I believe, and I'm not the only one that believes, there's a lot of reports out there, analysts, influential analysts, also my analyst, my in-house analyst. We all believe that we're in for a good run. I think that the initial start, you know, Trump came in by storm. His administration came in ready to go, and they did not pull back, and they have not stopped executing their plan from day one. But now I think that people have gotten into the rhythm of it, and they're not as shocked anymore. And I think we know what to expect. We kind of see the track we're on here, and we're counting on it. We're believing in it, and that gives us a lot more faith. But I will say, don't sit on the sidelines. You know, give yourself that 3 to 5 year window. Put some money in the market and let's go. Let's see what we can do. And I am on the positive side. I think it's going to be a good run for us. So thank you for listening. Again, this is Mindy Molina. And remember, God loves you, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
We're going to fix our eyes on things above tonight. We're going to look towards heaven. Y'all ready? Let's start to the left. Here we go. Hey. I see you dancing with us. I walk by faith.
I walk by faith and not by sight.
It's just a two-step. One, two, three, turn. One, two, three, turn. Hey.